Hey guys, welcome back to The Glam Chemist. This is your host, Genesis Velasquez. Thank you guys for all of the support that you've given us recently. I'm super excited to share this conversation with you guys. I get to chat with Mika Oba of Geek Makeup Wisdom, and I, like many of you, looked to her blog for so many resources in the cosmetic sciences. I was able to at least find a place to learn a little bit more about the career, any education advances, just anything that I was able to kind of geek out on regarding personal care and makeup. So Mika created this wonderful space for all of us, and I'm able to chat with her here. You're going to hear a little bit later where she started and sharing some information about how her career's evolved. And I actually learned quite a bit about potential opportunities for the future of, being in STEM. There's so many wonderful spaces that we can get involved in, and specifically in the cosmetic sciences, we're so lucky to have so many different resources and opportunities available to us, given our niche understanding of this space. So Mika does a really good job of sharing her career, giving wonderful advice, and a few anecdotes along the way that might help you as much as they helped me. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. Feel free to subscribe to the podcast, and thanks again for joining us. I hope you like this conversation, and if you do, be sure to leave a comment. So I'd love to hear about what you guys think of the podcast, or even nominate some folks that you would like to hear from. Quite lucky to have a really inclusive industry. Everyone is super receptive to being a part of the podcast, so definitely send those folks our way, and I'm excited to chat with everybody. So I hope you guys like this one. Let's hear from Mika. Thank you for joining us.
It would be great to have our listeners hear a little bit more about you.
Yeah, no problem. Mika Oba from Geek Makeup Wisdom. I'm a formulation chemist. I've worked in the cosmetic industry. Oh, wow. I've been formulating for over 10 years. So now I'm trying to think. I think I've worked in the cosmetics industry as a formulator and product developer for about 5-6 years. And now I've transitioned to working as a formulation chemist and product developer in topical pharmaceuticals. So the science is pretty much the same thing, but obviously different regulatory regulations. And on the side, I still run Geek Makeup Wisdom, which is my blog and kind of side business. And I'm also working in marketing for an observatory. So right now I'm kind of all over the place.
Yeah, you're wearing a lot of hats. It's actually great that with our understanding of cosmetic science, we actually can do so many things, like freelance for a lot of things, especially like as a formulator, you can provide education and you can always kind of keep a little sidekick going.
Yeah, even though I don't work at in the cosmetics industry, you know, as like my main job, it's still nice that I'm involved in the industry with my side business. And, you know, it's a field that I fell in love with and I can never fully leave, honestly. Yeah.
It would be great to know a little bit more about how you even became involved in STEM and science in the first place.
Yeah. So, you know, I've always been interested in STEM growing up. In high school, I thought I wanted to get into dermatology because I was really into skincare at the time. But after a few hospital internships, I kind of realized that I didn't want to work in a hospital setting. And so I had to figure out, well, how can I still be involved in skincare science at some capacity? And, you know, I used to live near a Sephora and I was shopping with my mom. And then she was the one who actually was like, why don't you think about a career in making this stuff? Because somebody does. And then that's really how it came to be, you know. And I've always had an affinity for chemistry of all like the different STEM fields. And so I made the connection in high school and discovered cosmetic chemistry was a thing. When I was just Googling about, you know, what I should major in college. And I kind of just fell into that. I've always loved data. I've always loved science. I've always loved math, even though math was just not my strongest subject. But I have known since high school that I wanted to pursue cosmetic chemistry, and I just went for it.
Yeah, that's completely relatable. I knew in high school as well that I wanted to be in cosmetic science, and I remember describing it to folks and like no one really understanding what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's one of those things. I think now people are becoming educated about the different levels of science and the different applications of what our degree can fit into. But I remember like knowing that I wanted to like develop those products. But it's cool that your mom thought about it that way, because it's always something I describe, like it's a job that gets done, but nobody really knows who does it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's really cool that she inspired, like she even like turned that light bulb in your head to pursue it. And now, you know, 10 years later, you've been formulating for cosmetics forever. So that's how you got involved in the first place. But what, how did you decide on like where to go to school and how to pursue the sciences themselves?
So I'm from California and I'm local. So picking my college was kind of based on that, because I still wanted to be around like my friends and family and boyfriend. And then I looked into different colleges and their chemistry departments, and I picked UC Davis because they actually had a really diverse like set of concentrations within chemistry that seemed really interesting to me, because I didn't know which chemistry major or rather focus I wanted to pick. So when I attended UC Davis, I came in as a chemical engineer major, and it transitioned to regular chemistry, and then the school started offering pharmaceutical chemistry, which cool. You know, like really relates a lot to cosmetic chemistry. So I liked how that specific major had more of an emphasis on like biochemistry and biology compared to hardcore math that, you know, you don't really need for information science as much. So that's what I ended up focusing on.
Right. Yeah, I think that's like pharmacology and things that have to do with how things apply topically is definitely worth knowing before, which is why you're now doing pharmaceuticals. But it makes sense that that's what you would have studied in the program, because I was mentioning this in another episode, like now all of these like 5-year masters in cosmetic science or pharm and science and cosmetics exist. But I remember also trying to find a place for cosmetic science in my degree, and like it didn't really exist. It was kind of something that like you would get your degree and then go into the space and apply those skills. So I totally get it. It's great now that there's all these resources to at least like learn how to batch and learning compatibility, doing a full formulation. And how did you get into formulating?
It was difficult at the time. There were a lot of resources, and I remember this. I still remember this conversation I had with my chemistry department advisor. You know, I was asking her my freshman year, like, so, you know, I picked Davis because I like your offerings in the department. How can I get into cosmetic chemistry? And she was like, what are you talking about? What's cosmetic chemistry? No. I'm on my own. And I kind of winged it. So up until I got my first internship between my junior and senior year in the cosmetics industry, I was working different laboratory jobs. Like I worked in a genetics lab, a food science lab, inorganic chemistry lab. I was just trying to get any kind of lab experience, because I knew that being a formulator, I was going to be on the bench. And so even though I couldn't find anything directly related to a cosmetic science laboratory, I just wanted to build up my general laboratory skills, like, you know, dexterity, working on the bench, understanding lab safety, just basic things like that. During this time, while I was, you know, going to school and working part-time in these laboratories, I was starting to write and research on the side about different cosmetic ingredients, because I had no one to talk to about it. I had friends who were always asking me, you know, different cosmetic science questions, like, what does this ingredient do? What does this ingredient do? And I was fresh at it, so I didn't know what any of it was. And on the side, I had like my very first blog that doesn't exist anymore. I called it Lily X Ren, and I just made blog posts about whatever I found on the internet. That's kind of how I got into learning how to formulate in formulations. And so I kept also applying for internships that I could find around in my area. And honestly, at the time, there was practically nothing. Yeah. Like I joined like the Society of Cosmetic Chemists, and for a long time, I didn't see any job postings in my area. And so sometimes I'd even apply for internships like outside of the state and I would never hear back.
Like now we're seeing a little bit of a shift, but at the time it was more of an East Coast industry. So I understand why you would have had a hard time finding even the resources. So that's like how you started providing information too. So like that leads us really nicely into like how you started your blog about cosmetic science.
Yeah. So I had that blog, and during college, I was networking with different cosmetic chemists on mainly Twitter, sometimes LinkedIn. And I also went to a UCLA extension course about skincare ingredients. I don't believe it exists anymore. It used to be taught by Rebecca Gadberry from Southern California. And I met, you know, chemists through there, and it just kind of evolved from there, where I wanted to somehow keep educating myself on how to formulate, and then also, you know, share with others and connect with others who were interested in cosmetic chemistry. And eventually I didn't really like the name Lily X Ren, because I just felt like it was kind of random and no one would understand what my blog would be about. Changed it to Geek Makeup Wisdom, so that I restarted and revamped my website. And I started it a few years ago, just writing first about, you know, how to even break into the industry, because that was the question I got so many times. But I've since like trying to transition more to just talking about cosmetic science.
You clearly wrote it from a place of understanding, where the questions you're answering on your blog posts are exactly what you were asking yourself in that time. And it's all you really need. It's just enough direction to get you started. And I think that's what this specific industry lacks, even though we have our society and all of these other resources. Finding those resources are pretty hard. Unless you're already in it or you're working in that space, we really don't know how to find these resources. I think now, like with social media, it's getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
And the fact that people are learning what the industry is. But I know that at the time, like when I was preparing for undergrad and stuff, there wasn't a lot for me to even explain to folks what I do. And that's why I think your content is so well received, because it's quick questions. Like, what the heck do I do now? I mean, I can see why you still get engaged. Like, that's the thing too about your resources, that they're pretty timeless. It's not like they're set in a specific, like, even though it was 5 years ago, your information still applies to a lot of the industry now, and finding resources in the industry now, because a lot has changed. So that's probably why you're still getting folks like interacting with your blog, because it's quite simple to find. And SEO is your friend, your top hit, you're on the first page. So cosmetic science, and then you're right there.
Yeah, I'm glad that my content ended up being pretty evergreen. So I'm really happy to hear that it's helped you and that it's still helping people to this day.
Yeah. And even as like, I know, I understand, like, it's hard, even this podcast, like I record it and edit it myself, and I wish there was so much more I could do with it, but limited resources and limited time. But even the little bit that you do with interacting with folks is enough to build the community we have now. And, you know, like being a part of this podcast is enough. And I think that at the very least, as long as your website is live, it'll definitely just, you'll see the same response every couple of years, I'm sure. You're about to be a mom, which is exciting, but how do you think you're going to keep all of your projects going moving forward?
Well, I'm very fortunate that the pharmaceutical company that I work for, I actually work for them part-time. And so when it comes to work-life balance, I'm just extremely fortunate, because when I had to tell my work, you know, I physically cannot be in the laboratory anymore. Like with my illness, it's just too painful. You know, they worked with me to find a role where I'm still leading projects with clients. So I'm still interfacing with our different clients in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm mostly paper formulating, doing experimental design, writing batch records, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I also do science writing for them. So it's nice that I get to, you know, still have that steady income from them, working part-time for them, and then doing what I can with Geek Makeup Wisdom on the side. So it's going to be a new adventure when my child comes.
Yeah.
Pretty soon. But my different jobs are all very flexible, and I can work from home as needed. So I feel like I can keep it going just because I have, you know, a lot of fortunate support from from the different places that I work.
That's really helpful too for your health, because then you can make that a priority in the meantime. Which is, I'm hoping, what we're going towards as an overall industry. Mm-hmm. I think work-life balance is something that everyone is trying to prioritize now, given the state of the world. It is also, like, I didn't think about how much work you could do from home, you know, like developing formulations and experimental things. Because to me, as a chemist, I always thought, like, at the lab bench is where you have to live. I would love to hear a little bit more about how you've managed working the way you have and adjusted to, I guess, not being at the lab bench as often.
So every day is really different, because at my pharmaceutical job, you know, they're still like a 9-to-5 kind of company, but they're pretty flexible with me and what days I come in. So a typical day for me, I usually start waking up at like 5:30 and start doing things for Geek Makeup Wisdom and the observatory. And then I'll usually work, you know, the typical like 8-to-5 with the pharmaceutical company. And then after work, you know, I will have meetings with usually like related to the observatory. I'll do my writing and things like that. But because I'm not at the bench anymore, you know, I'm not at the mercy of like, oh, okay, I need to be here for this part of like making the emulsion or, you know, things like that. I don't have to balance running back and forth between the lab bench and my computer desk anymore. So I like to plan my workload around doing Pomodoros. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. Yeah, I take things day by day because, you know, with the different clients that I have, I have to be flexible enough to also like work with their schedule and their things. So, I try to plan everything using Pomodoros and just planning around my meetings and batching my work with like writing and stuff in between.
That's cool. Yeah. I also didn't realize like how much work you could do just by writing a lot of the findings. Cause that is a full-time job.
Yeah.
The practice that we do in the lab bench, like experiments take hours and failed batches happen all the time. And then having to track that research is also a whole time consuming. It's kind of cool that you can separate it and have a team work on it. And then you report the findings, which is helpful too. I'm sure for your team as well.
Yeah. It's super helpful. And you know, and this applies to cosmetics too. So in cosmetics and pharmaceuticals, if you are working in a contract manufacturing laboratory, you're going to have clients that have, you know, a different range of knowledge and experience and how product development actually works. And so there are some clients that they just want to be, you know, completely guided. They don't really care about all the data and everything as long as to get them what they want for the product. And then you have some other clients that, you know, they would like to have like formal reports. They want to talk heavy science. And so for those types of clients, it is a ton of writing. You know, there are presentations you need to do sometimes. I do spend quite a bit of time just even having to do that, like how to present the data to them about their products.
Yeah, there is a lot of research and a lot of
I kind of forget how much we do, I guess, like even researching like new ingredients that are coming out, finding them compatible and testing them into the formula or integrating them into formulas, and then also validating claims. Like there are a lot of intricate pieces to cosmetic science that I guess even in living in it, I forget that we do, because that is helpful for when they're going to market a product or submit it for approvals. Yeah. So they need those documentations, and it's great that you can provide them from home, which is nice too.
Yeah.
What do you prefer? Obviously you're never going to be too far away from cosmetic science, but what do you prefer doing now that you're kind of adjusting to this new way of working for yourself? What's your favorite part of it all?
You know, I actually over the years appreciate science writing a lot. I just love data. I love research and looking at scientific papers and then trying to share that information in different capacities. Because at the pharmaceutical company I work with, I make content for their website, for their blog, similar to what I do for Geek Makeup Wisdom. And I love the challenge of learning how to like craft and present content for, you know, these different platforms. And also learning how to craft content, you know, for different personalities of clients, because there are some clients that don't want too much information. They want like one page or one slide that explains everything. And then you have clients that, you know, want like a 60 page report or something. Yeah. So I really enjoy the research and writing aspect of my career now.
I think you've given me an entirely new industry to look into for work from home. Because I didn't even think about like, you know, copywriting as a chemist is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. So thank you. I might have a career pivot in my near future. Writing is something that's big in your life. Obviously, like you've shared information via the blog and you love science writing. So done a good job of bringing the two worlds together. What are your goals for your blog and yourself?
Yeah. So my goals right now are, you know, science writing is still very new to me. And I am interested in eventually doing more like content writing, maybe freelancing for like what we just talked about, like writing copy for different brands or doing just more report writing. So I'm trying to also branch out into other sciences, because I feel like it's important to like when learning how to write, especially for general audiences and like kind of the current like environment when it, and attitude when it comes to science, you know, it feels very bipolar in the sense there are these people that are like, oh, you always have to believe in science, or no, science is like this huge scam kind of thing. And so that's why I also work in marketing for the observatory, because I just want to learn how to write for other science fields. So astronomy, because I think that learning how to write for just a broad range of science topics will just help me keep improving and how to write for general audiences, especially for cosmetic chemistry. And like, I just feel that as cosmetic chemistry grows and become and people are more aware of it, you know, there's a lot of misinformation and there could be a lot of vitriol, frankly, from people that don't want to, you know, believe in research, believe in data, and they have like their own biases. And so that's something I'm personally still learning how to navigate. Like how do we try to share science information and cosmetic science without it kind of devolving into back and forth on social media and things like that?
Yeah, I see that a lot. Obviously, like we've built this community of cosmetic chemists, and like almost all of our guests provide some sort of education tailored to social media or some sort of online platform. They speak of this quite a bit because there has been this season of time, specifically in cosmetic sciences, where consumers are becoming more educated, but also they don't necessarily understand what they're educating themselves on. Mm-hmm. And what I like most about all of my guests is that they've taken it into their own hands. Like, why don't you ask someone who's actually been on the bench? And you guys have very clearly provided information with, obviously, as scientists, without the biases, with true research and true documentation. And I'm hoping that it'll help consumers kind of weed through all of that vitriol that you're discussing, because it has been there. I mean, you're part of the community. It's quite clear something is happening. I'm not understanding why there's a like personal attack on information for certain things, or it's just strange to me that there, it's like a true dichotomy. Like, I will not use this and I don't want this, but without really knowing the function of the ingredients and the overall effectiveness, and forgetting about efficacy, I feel like. And as scientists, you know, we take it quite personal because it's what we do for a living. You know, we want to make safe and effective products. But I have had this conversation with other guests where it's a very strange space for us right now, or trying to navigate through like consumer understanding and education. I don't even know what it is, like where these ideas and concepts come from, because they're seemingly popping up out of nowhere with very little justification for its like statements. It's just like a broad headline that means nothing to us, or as chemists means nothing to us, but consumers, it, you know, it's quite manipulative. But yeah, I would love to continue to watch how you do that, because I would love to understand that for myself. Because as a chemist, I'm like, it's one, it should be fun and simple and educational. I don't want to argue with you about why I'm not using specific ingredients, or why I think, you know, if you want an effective product, why I should be incorporating that. I'm quite lucky that I work in product development now, and I help independent beauty brands. And a lot of them come to me with the misconceptions of how they want to promote their products, of like their no list and their yes list of ingredients and claims. And I'm quite lucky that they've relied on me and trusted me to provide the education to them, and saying like, I understand where your concerns are coming from, but here's all of this information that kind of debunks that and explains to you why we're using this specific ingredient. I'm lucky that they're receptive to it, but I can't imagine, as someone who's like printing literature on science, how that's getting received on your end.
Oh, it's very difficult. And speaking with other science writers, even outside of cosmetic chemistry, you know, sometimes it comes to a point, especially if you're sharing your information on social media, where you have to walk away from some conversations, because there are some people that come into it and they are so determined to make their point and not actually look at the data you have to share. And you can only put so much energy into it, honestly. There have been a lot of like threads where I'm just like, you know what? It's going nowhere. Not worth
that go. Yeah. The community is kind of taking it upon themselves and taking it into their own hands to be like, okay, I understand that marketing or other blogs or things that you're getting information from may be leading you in this direction, but here's like a lovely way from an actual chemist, our perspective on these things. So it's like non-combative, but also just educational enough that it'll spark a little bit of a conversation. But yeah, I have also experienced like those Twitter wars of just, I don't even know why we started this conversation in the first place. It's also like, you know, it's also like this person that has never set foot in a lab don't understand.
My favorite one that comes back every couple of years, and I still don't know why, is that myth that you can eat, I think it was like 200 tons of lipstick in your lifetime. And I'm like, how?
Tons?
Blows my mind, some of the things that I hear. But
yeah,
that's why choose your battles, honestly.
It's a very strange world for science right now.
It is, but it's exciting, because now that I'm not on the bench, I just feel, for me, what's exciting about the shift in my career is that there's just more new things for me to learn about, because most of my experience so far, obviously, is just like writing reports and articles and things like that. So it's all long form. Making content for social media is still something that I'm observing and learning, because that's not something I actively do for clients. I mean, especially in pharmaceutical in the pharmaceutical industry, these companies, you know, they don't have Instagram or Twitter.
Pretty copy. Standard. Yeah.
Different. So it's just interesting to learn how to write for, you know, just those different spaces.
Yeah. And I think your blog already represents that. And I think that's what people now are building off of, providing like aesthetically pleasing, but also really concise information. So I'm excited to see what you come up with. I mean, once you settle into being a mom and all the new things, and I'm sure like you've had enough pivots in your life. So we'll see what comes up next. I mean, I appreciate you being on the platform, and you're more than welcome to come back here. And if ever there's something that you'd like to share or speak to, you know, I'll lean on your understanding to share with our listeners, because we're all in different spaces, and I can only speak to my experience and the fact that you're even in pharmaceuticals. I'm sure there's some listener out there that's wanted to pursue something similar and would love to learn more about how you're pursuing that from home and science writing, which again, I never considered until our conversation today, but this is quite cool to think about. I mean, it's a great way to retire. So I appreciate you joining me. I'm just going to ask you the last two questions that I ask all of my guests. It's usually the part where, you know, we all get the best piece of advice.
Yeah.
Especially like, I wish I had known that sooner. So one of them is, what's the best piece of advice you wish you could give your undergraduate self?
Okay, as my undergraduate self, I would go back to her when she was working all her different labs and then ask her to her face, do you know what you're doing? Because it didn't click with me until I started working on the formulation bench that I got really good, you know, at actually doing the work. But I distinctly remember where my boss came up to me and he's like, hey, you want to make a sunscreen for us? I'm like, yeah, where's the formula? And he's like, well, you could do it, right? And then I realized, okay, wait, hold on a second. And I had to like backtrack and really think, okay, let's think again what each of these different ingredients do. And it even came to the point where, you know, I recognized trade names of these ingredients that I used every day, but then I'd forget their inkies. And I'm like, wait, do I understand why it's like in this space? Do I understand why the procedure is written this way and how we're scaling it up? And I wish that before I had that internship, I was paying more attention to all of the, you know, different things I was doing across all those different labs.
That's a good piece of advice, because I can't remember nomenclature to save my life. Because I was a lab edge chemist, this means, you know, batching and understanding and reordering materials. But as the fact that I'm not a formulation chemist, I don't really know the relationship between a lot of these things. I can troubleshoot a few things, but I don't really understand, you know, what happens in each phase chemically. So yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice, is when you're doing those tangible applications, like kind of focus on what you're doing and learn what it is so that you can speak on it. And there's a monotonous thing too about being a lab bench chemist. Like you're kind of just like going through the motions.
Exactly.
And and then at some point someone questions you, you're like, good question.
I'll forget that day, because that it made me, I just had like a, you know, like this kind of brain blast where I thought about all my different past lab tech jobs. And, you know, I'm doing like PCR and like a biology lab and all these things and like prepping samples for that. But I'm like, wait, did I understand the purpose of each reagent? Like, I'm really good.
Like, why did I do this?
Yeah, but why am I doing this? And it was just such a big wake up call. Like, oh my God, do I know what I'm doing?
Oh my God. That's relatable though. Like that would happen to me, because I'd go in through the motions of doing the research. And then when I had to write down write the formal lab, I'm like, what the heck did I do again? Like, why did I do that? I'm looking at the data and I'm like, what does this mean? Yeah, it totally has happened. So that's great advice. Definitely when you're applying those skills, kind of do a mental note of what it is you're doing and why you're doing it. And I guess remember the science, because it's easy to, again, fall into the monotony of being in the lab and forget the science and forget why you're doing it in the first place or what the ultimate goal is. So yeah, I like that. Good advice. The other question I always ask is, what's the best piece of professional advice that you've received that you still live by?
Oh, just never stop learning. especially in cosmetic chemistry, where, you know, the knowledge that we have is always evolving, and formulation science. I mean, there's not a lot of innovation in terms of actual raw materials and ingredients. That type of science is kind of slower to evolve. But in my career, at least, I've always come across like brand new problems. Like, I'll think, oh, there's no way that this formula is not stable. Like, it should come together fine. And then all of a sudden, just one little thing, like an extract or something, will just make the whole thing fall apart. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just never stop learning. Never think that you know everything when it comes to your specialty. Like, even though I've done some color cosmetic work, most of my expertise is in developing topicals like skincare and obviously pharmaceuticals, but I never want to think, oh, okay, well, I've made, you know, thousands of creams at this point, like I know everything when it comes to creams.
Yeah,
you always need to educate yourself and stay on top of it. You're always gonna cross brand new problems in your career.
It's true. Yeah, it's nice though. And I appreciate you for creating your community. And honestly, it's part of the reason why I've developed this community. It's just been so cool to know that there's other women in cosmetic science like me that geek out for it. So I appreciate you so much. Thanks for being a guest, and I hope to have you back. Is there anything you want to share with our listeners? Obviously, like, we can find you on your blog, but anywhere else that we can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Geek Makeup Wisdom. You can also find me on Twitter at Mika_Oba.
Definitely, we'll have you back on the podcast, and you're so inspiring. I appreciate you. You have no idea how much you helped me during my undergraduate experience. And I hope our listeners enjoyed this conversation. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime.
Thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Glam Chemist Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I am so stoked to have had Mika on here. It's just so amazing to have connected with some chemists that I really admire and that really made an impression on my development when I was going into this space. So I hope you guys find this inspiring. I'm so glad to be sharing it with you guys. Be sure to check out Mika's content on Makeup Wisdom. Be sure to follow us on social media at The Glam Chemist, and make sure you subscribe on your platforms and leave us a review. Let us know what you've been thinking. We're so excited to be connecting with folks. I also hope to see some of you at Suppliers Day, so feel free to DM us and send us some information if you're going to be there. I would love an opportunity to meet with some of our listeners. Thanks again for supporting.